Hello, Facebook. Maybe.
Welcome to the Trim Radio Network. And if you have a tablet, iPhone, Android, any kind of device, and it connects to the internet, guess what? We broadcast live all over the world. And anyway, we're going to make this pretty simple. We have a variety of wonderful shows on there, family-oriented shows. And you will just come on over to Trim Radio Network. You could also buy merchandise. And we have some great stuff. So you can do that too. If you want to be a part of the Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. And any opinions expressed by any host, co-host, guests, or others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, our owners, managers, or others. It's information. We don't advise. So just keep that in mind. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667, 803-866-1667. You can call in. Just no cussing, no swearing. And lastly, that great song right there, Leave It to Beaver, from television's greatest show. I'll tell you what, that was a great show. That's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And without any further ado, Stu, it's on you.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff's been going on. And, I don't know where to begin. I mean, you know, I had everything planned for my world. And I thought, okay, I can put all this together, no problem. And then we have, well, let's put it this way, big nasty storm coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico and going into Florida, right around where I have friends and relatives. And oh, that gets me kind of worried. So we're going to get into some of that tonight, especially on how to prepare for it. And you know that we always talk about preparedness on money and change, and whether it's financial preparedness or not, and we do it on My World too. It's one of those things that if you haven't been preparing or prepping, sometimes it's too late. And in the case of this storm, it's too late. If you weren't ready towards the beginning of the week or even last weekend, you're probably going to have a rough time of it. And those of you that live up in Georgia and in the Carolinas, you have time. But you better put the pedal to the metal and start getting your preps. So we're going to cover some of that. And as I am going over things today, I also have on my tablet, and you probably can't see it on Facebook, but it's hooked into AccuWeather. And I'm looking at what's going on in Tampa right now and Florida generally. And it's not looking too good. It's awful wet. And I'll tell you about some of my experiences going through a hurricane in Florida. And I'll tell you this, I never want to go through it again. Well, you know, Michael always does his disclaimer and I have to do mine. So nothing in this show should be considered as legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. we're not responsible for, and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And oh, by the way, hey, tell your friends to join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on My World. Live, laugh, and whatever. Well, we always do shout outs, and I've got to do a bunch, a literal bunch. Trim Radio Network, hey, they've kept us on the air. They like the show, and Michael and I work pretty well together, and we have fun doing it, and we hope that we inform people, and we provide good information for everybody, no matter whether or not we're just kidding around in My World or whether we're really serious in Money and Change. But a big shout-out to the Trim Radio Network. You can get us at trimradio.com. And we're all over the world, literally. I've got people in Myanmar, India, South Africa, parts of Europe, going up into North America, South America. I mean, we're everywhere except Iceland. Gee whiz, if you're listening in Iceland, hey, you know, let us know. I mean, nobody said anything. I want to be able to reach out to a lot of different people. Well, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. You can see them on Facebook. It's R-U-S-T-Y and then D-U-K apostrophe S, Custom Pens. And Phil is very busy over there. So if you have a presentation pen that you want to give to a friend or your company has them to give out to customers or whatever, contact Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. A big shout out to the University of Findlay, www.findlay.edu. Classes have started, and I think they're in their third week, maybe fourth week. It's a good school. It really is. It's an NCAA Division II sports school, and they have good football, good basketball, track, wrestling, you name it, they do that. But primarily, it's education. And boy, do they have a good program. It doesn't make any difference if you're getting an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or a doctoral degree. They have it. And they are good at what they do. And the product coming out of Findlay is fantastic. It's a great school. You want to check them out. They're located in Findlay, Ohio. F-I-N-D-L-A-Y, Ohio. Nice town. Roughly about 45,000 people. And there are about 4,500 people on campus. Beautiful facilities. Good professors. I mean, they treat everybody right. I mean, it's a good school. Well, we have to talk about Money and Change because this Sunday we may not be on the air because the storm is going to reach the Carolinas and our production equipment has to be preserved first. So more than likely it's going to be shut down and you will get a replay of another edition. In other words, like Rush Limbaugh always said, it wasn't a replay, it's an encore edition. And I think I'll start calling any of my replays an encore edition. Also, My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever tonight. Hey, it's 8 p.m. Actually, it's 8:08 right now. And there's a lot to talk about. A lot of stuff out there. Not only in my world, but probably in your world, too. Also, The Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista. Hey, they've got a special on some of the frozen foods that they promote. You might want to check them out. Also, Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. They're down in Wiggins, Mississippi, and the hurricane is missing them for once. I've seen some of their shows when they broadcast out of their bunker. That's a very nice storm shelter. I believe it's under one of their cabins. And they talk about farming and the economy and everything else. Good people. That's Deep South Homestead on YouTube. Check them out. Also, Dave Kobler with Southern Prepper One. I'll tell you what, Dave's going to be in for it too, just like Michael is in South Carolina. And Dave Kobler does boots on the ground and things like that. And he's almost in North Carolina. He's very close to the border. And I like their volunteer fire department, the Pumpkin Patch Volunteer Fire Department. He's a member there. I always think that's kind of neat, the Pumpkin Patch Fire Department. Well, anyhow, check Southern Prepper One out. Also, Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell. If Ed is in New York, I think he'll be okay. If he's in West Virginia, he's going to get wet. And we've also got Nate up in Canada with his Prepper Show, Canadian Prepper. And they all provide very factual information that is very important. Well, you know what's going on in my world? Do you ever have pet peeves? You know what that is? It's not when your dog or cat wets on the carpet or floor. It's not that. Pet peeves, P-E-E-V-E-S. What really aggravates you the most? Everybody's going to have a pet peeve. And my big pet peeve this last week are drivers. People that have spent too much time with a mask on, depriving their brains of oxygen, and they're driving their cars through stop signs. They just keep rolling. They don't care if they hit anybody. They turn in front of other cars. They're not obeying the speed limit. I mean, you know, hey, we all kind of go over the speed limit once in a while. Let's face it, everybody does. But 10 or 15 miles an hour over the limit, or they get on the interstate and they're flying like a jet. I mean, the other night I was coming back from our Monday band practice, and I'm driving north on I-75. And everything's nice. Some people would say it's hunky-dory. It was a nice drive, even though there are a lot of cars on the road, and there's this one guy. If I would have a magnetic sign that would stick to his car that said jerk, I would do it. I would put it on his car as he flew by. He comes weaving in and out of traffic, going in excess of the speed limit, which is 70 miles an hour. He was way over that. I'm probably going to say he's going 85 or 90. It's like he's getting chased by a cop 10 miles back. You know, he's booking, as they call it here. And he just zigzagged in and out of traffic and took off. And I thought, boy, there ought to be a state cop somewhere around here. Well, there wasn't. I mean, it must have been a donut break or, you know, restroom break. That's a code 100 in police talk. Nobody around, and he was just being a jerk on the road. And I hate those people. I really do. I mean, you know, be a normal person, drive like you have common sense, which this guy didn't, because he kept weaving in and out of traffic, and it was looking like he was going to cause an accident on purpose. I mean, the guy was really a jerk. That was my pet peeve. And you know, you have your own pet peeves. And it could be people that smoke cigars in closed rooms, or somebody that has a bad case of flatulence. That's a big word. It actually stands for fart. English people might spell it P-H-A-R-T. Here it would be, in the States, would be F-A-R-T. And more cultured, refined people would call it flatulence. And some people have that, they can't stand that, you know. Other people come in and they don't care. But what's your pet peeve? I don't know what your pet peeve is. I mean, if you contact the station here at trimradio.com, you can let us know what your pet peeve is. But lately I'm seeing, you know, people, man, I'll tell you, that stupid is as stupid does. You know, I think that was Forrest Gump. Yep, stupid is as stupid does. Well, I'll tell you what. Sometimes in the town where I live, they've been wearing the mask too long and they've been oxygen deprived and their overall IQ went down about 100,000 points. You know what I mean? And, you know, they have these big projects and they have these consultants and they think, oh, they're really good consultants, and they pay them big money. And they draw these fancy pictures of what the downtown should look like. But nothing ever happens. They basically come up with a plan. They do some statistics. They give them the plan and nothing happens. And then the plans that they do, they forget that they're in a business district and they need parking. Well, what do? Do away with parking. I mean, you've got some major banks that need extra parking. You've got, you know, post office. You've got other businesses. You've got a convention center. You just get stupid as a stupid does. And it's out there. And if everybody in my location where I'm at is listening and they just go, yep, they do. Stupid is a stupid does. Somebody needs smart pills. Reminds me when I was in school. I was in high school. It was my junior year. I was taking an algebra class. We had a lot of smart people in there, excluding me, because algebra and I didn't necessarily get along. Physics and I got along very well, but algebra was a little bit nebulous for me. But we had this one guy that he was a super smart guy. And the teacher that we had, Mr. Alexander, very smart gentleman. He taught in high school and then he went to teach at Northwestern University and was a professor there teaching mathematics. The guy was, he was smart, but his big phrase was, if you didn't know the answer to a question, he'd go, you big dummy, you big dummy. Well, anyhow, one day John comes into class and he sits down at his desk and he was a good track star. He could run very fast, but boy, I'll tell you what, he had to have raisins and he would snack on them. And Mr. Alexander said, there's no eating in my class. Can't eat in my class. Don't do that, you big dummy. And so John would sneak them and he'd pop them in his mouth. And Wild Bill, as we called him, turned around and he looked at him. He says, what you eating? And John thinks for a minute and he goes, smart pills. And he says, the teacher said, well, you're one of the smartest people I know, especially in this class. Why do you need smart pills? He says, well, I have to have them for energy and stuff. And so Wild Bill told him, he said, now let's cut that out. You can't eat in class. You can eat in the hallway between classes, but not in class. So we just put it aside. We handled our class. And next thing you know, John comes in the next day. He's eating raisins again. And Wild Bill tells him, don't eat the raisins in class. Well, this goes on for several days. And one day John comes in, didn't have any raisins. And he's sitting there and Mr. Alexander got really perturbed because he couldn't say anything to John because he didn't have any raisins. And Wild Bill looked at him, he says, where's your raisins, you big dummy? And John looked at him, he said, my rabbit died. And with that, we started laughing so hard. And Alexander's face got so red, he was so embarrassed he had to step out in the hall, getting his composure back. Some of the things that happened way back when, and you remember things from when you were in high school some eons ago. I don't even know that if I saw Methuselah as a teacher there. I don't know. We had some very good teachers. Some of them taught for Miami University off campus, and some went on to teach at Northwestern and other schools. But that goes back in my world with pet peeves and stupid is and stupid does and all kinds of stuff out there. You know, you remember all of this stuff. And it's amazing. And you remember all the humor involved in it. And I think what's going to happen next week, we're going to have an encore edition of Money and Change because I'm going to be in Athens, Ohio, the home of Ohio University. And I'm down there for a reunion. Some of the original band members were there. And even though we didn't have a good football team the years that I was there, we had an excellent band. And it's amazing when you go to Penn State University to perform and you get a standing ovation. I mean, we got a standing ovation there from the crowd and the band. And we thought, oh my God, that was something else. Well, that was way back when, about 54 years ago. Well, we're getting together again for a reunion. And that's going to take place next Friday night. And then Saturday, we have the football game. And I'll be on my way back on Sunday. And I don't have time to really prepare and go online with a live show. So we're going to do an encore edition next week. Well, what's happening in our world right now? You know, my tablet's going with AccuWeather, and I'm looking at the Florida weather right now, and I posted some things. I had to change the show around. I mean, I can't help it. News changes, and to help people out, I want to be ahead of the news, or at least the disaster. And I posted there's a storm coming, and I asked people to make sure that they have their paper and pencil handy to take notes. And then I thought, oh, we'll just change it and I'll put information on our Facebook site. And it tells what a tropical depression is. It tells the different stages and so forth and how to be prepared. And I thought, hey, now that would work. Because I've got friends in Florida. I've got friends in Bradenton. I've got friends in Clearwater Beach, Tampa, Indian Rocks Beach, Largo, up at Destin. I have some friends up there. And even though I haven't been there in 5 years due to the bug and some of the travel restrictions and so forth, you know, I've driven it before. It takes me 3 days and I don't go through the mountains. I do not go through the Smoky Mountains. I've been there and in fog, it's not good. So I always take, I believe it's I-65 or it's I-69. And I go down through Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and then cut over to Sand Key or Indian Rocks Beach, Clearwater in that area. I love it down there. It's like a second home. And now it's going to be like a second slum. I mean, some of the damage that's going to happen down in Florida that's happening right now with waves getting up to, you know, 5-6 feet deep. It's scary. And somebody told me that in Tampa Bay, it's basically dry. The water's been sucked out of the bay. That's pretty scary. And man, I'm just thinking of everything that's going on down there. And I'm thinking, well, okay, how can I help people tonight? So we're going to talk about hurricanes and storms and flooding and destruction. Oh my. But remember, I've always told people to prepare. I've said this for years. And if you haven't prepared for this disaster that's happening right now as we speak in Florida and then eventually in Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina and wherever else it goes, if you haven't prepared, you're in trouble. Severe trouble. It's just like economic preparedness. If there's a recession or a depression or some crazy thing that happens out there, you have to be prepared. Well, let's talk a little bit about the storms and flooding and so forth. And you can predict a little bit where hurricanes are going to go. But when they come onshore from being out in the Gulf or out in the Atlantic, you have a problem because that's a lot of water. And I believe back in 1994, I was down in Clearwater, Florida. No, I wasn't. I was at Indian Rocks Beach, which is about 10 miles south. Beautiful day. The Gulf was just like glass. And it was so smooth. I mean, it was like glass. And the weather was beautiful. And then that night, about 10 o'clock, man, everything started to pick up. The wind and the waves out in the Gulf and hitting against the seawall. And everything's going on. And I was out in, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 mile an hour winds I could take. And finally got to the point about 11 o'clock, I decided to go inside. So I went inside to the apartment. And I watched the news and they said, this is how bad it's going to be. So I turned on a scanner that I had, a police scanner. And I listened to what was going on the maritime band. And I could listen to ships saying, well, they were going to anchor and hunker down for the storm and so forth. And I thought, oh, man, I don't know. And this was just like a category one. Really, it was almost like a three-quarter. It wasn't quite a category one where we were, but anyhow, it was just crazy. And the wind picked up and picked up and picked up. And finally, I made sure that the windows were all closed and so forth, and the blinds were drawn and all this. And I noticed water coming through a locked window. And I thought, holy cow. What am I going to do? Well, I started stuffing towels and the towels got soaked and everything else. I was bailing water coming out of cracks in the window that I'd never known were there. It was crazy time. And then finally, I noticed some lawn furniture flying by the window going out towards Gulf Boulevard because that was the street closest to us. And I thought, oh, man, I hope my dad's car doesn't get damaged and all this kind of stuff, and which it didn't, luckily. But stuff was flying around, and it was just horrendous. Well, I made it through the night. The next day, the winds were 85 miles an hour, calming down. And we tried to go outside to see what was going on, and we could barely open the door to get outside. And when we looked through our fingers to see what was going on, because we couldn't stand the wind in our face and the sea foam, we noticed that a catamaran that was basically moored at the edge of the beach, which was about maybe 150 feet from our seawall, maybe 200 feet from the seawall, was picked up. The ropes were broken and the catamaran was up against the seawall. And friends of ours in the end apartment, they had a huge glass window, which luckily didn't break. But if that wind was any stronger, that catamaran would have come into their living room. And that's how scary it was. And next thing you know, I couldn't get off the island. Gulf Boulevard had water across part of it because it came in from the intercoastal on the other side of the road. Roads were flooded. I couldn't get to the airport to catch my flight out of Tampa. And I had to rearrange all of my leave time from work. And the next day I went to the airport and the limo picked me up. I went there and I was in line for 2 hours and I got up there and the guy said, well, your flight left. I said, I didn't get any notification. So I had to haggle with them on flying different places because of that storm. Air transportation was really disrupted. And I had to be back in Columbus, Ohio by a certain time. And so finally I called my boss. I said, hey, it's not going to happen. I can't make it. And these are the flights that I'm trying to take it. Well, anyhow, I talked to the guy at the counter and we were talking routes and he says, no, you can't get there from here. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I thought, oh, brother, this is going to be a nightmare. Well, anyhow, I told him, I said, look, I'm just going to tell it to you straight. I work for the governor of the state of Ohio and I have to be in Columbus at a certain time. I have to be in Dayton by 11 o'clock PM because somebody's picking me up. Get me there. Well, I didn't exactly work for the governor, but he signed my paychecks. I'll put it that way. I was a little bit down on the totem pole, but I had to get there. I really did. And they made arrangements for me to fly from Tampa business class, which I loved, to Dallas, Texas, and Dallas, Texas, up to St. Louis, and St. Louis to Dayton, Ohio. And then a friend of mine picked me up there, and then I could go get my car and drive to Columbus. Well, I didn't know that there was 2 feet of snow on the ground because the storm had curved out to sea, came back in, and inundated the Midwest with snow. Transportation gets a little bit tough, if you know what I mean. Besides, after taking an extra day to dig out the driveway, which is 180 feet long, I finally got on the road and got back to Columbus. So I had to take 2 extra days leave, maybe three extra days leave, which I had plenty of it, but it just messes with you. Well, you get these storms and these hurricanes. And so let's get down to brass tacks, what you're going to do when things like this happen, because they're not fun. They can be very stressful. And if you haven't prepared, you're in trouble. Do you have a to-go bag? If you had to leave your house, do you have a to-go bag with important documents in there or copies of documents so that if your house suddenly disappears in a big hurricane, you've lost your roof, your walls, and everything else, and a flood happens, do you have the information that you need for bank accounts, for deed to the property, insurance papers, things like that? Do you have that information handy? Put it on a thumb drive and then put that thumb drive in a Ziploc bag to keep it waterproof. There's a lot of things you can do with that, but you have to have that information. Hopefully you got it in a safety deposit box in a bank too, just copies of it. But you know, you end up having hurricanes. So let's talk about hurricane kits. It's important to create a kit that supplies the stuff that you need when you have to take with you if you are forced to evacuate. And the kit will also be useful if you are able to stay in your home, like a bug-in bag. But everybody's still going to be affected by the storm, and you don't want to have widespread panic. Panic is the worst thing that you can ever have. And people say, well, you're telling us this, but you don't panic. Yes, I do, but I do it calmly. I think of, okay, I need to do X, I need to do Y, I need to do Z. I need to call this person and so forth. It's just like a paramedic. When you go to a scene of an accident, you concentrate on saving the patient and getting them out of the car or whatever, you know, and providing medical help and getting to a hospital. Well, anyhow, you have to be that focused. And if you're not, you're in trouble. Well, things that you need in your kit: non-perishable food enough to last at least 3 days. And Mountain House makes food in packets. There are MREs, meals ready to eat. You could get that for 3 days. I would suggest probably 5 days worth of food or 6 days worth of food. Water enough to last 3 days until you can find a spot where you can get fresh water. If you can do more, that's fine. If you're in your house, hey, have at least a week's worth of water. Bottled water works. First aid kits, make sure you have that and any prescription medications that you need. If you're a diabetic, you're going to have your medication, and you're going to have that maybe in a refrigerated bag. Just different things. If you need pills, then you take your pills. Your medications have to go in that bag. Personal hygiene items and sanitation items. You know, you want to be able to clean up. Wet wipes are always great. Hand sanitizer is always good. Make sure you have flashlights and some extra batteries. Now, I went out, it's been a couple of months, but there was a thing on Amazon. They had a headband, and it had an LED and a spotlight in it, and you can charge it from your computer. And I thought, hey, that would work. So I went ahead and I got a couple of them. And I thought, well, you know, I could keep one in the bedroom and I could keep one maybe in the living room or the computer room. If the power went out, I had light. Well, then I'm looking at other types of light, and you can get other pen lights that work on AAA batteries, some that work on AA batteries that are very, very bright. You can get lights that run on solar power. They have a rechargeable battery on the inside. And when I see those, I always pick up one or two of them, because you can never have enough good light. How about a battery-operated radio? And you have to have extra batteries for it. I'll tell you what, I've got several. One is none, and two is one. Remember that. One is none and two is one. If one goes out, you have a backup. And so I've got two very nice portable radios that has a crank. It has a flashlight built into it. It picks up different bands. It has a solar cell on the top that can charge the battery. It has a reading light. I mean, I can charge phones with it. I mean, it's neat. And I've got two of them. Why? One is none and two is one. And they were about 40 or 50 bucks a piece. And they're great. They pick up multiple bands. I mean, it's very good. How about a waterproof container with cash and important documents? Ziploc bag? Yeah, that would work. Maybe a couple Ziploc bags. And you put your information on a thumb drive and you keep that in the bag and you update it every so often. Yeah, I even have my medical information on a thumb drive. I also have it printed out. It has my picture on there, so that way they know it's me. I have a lot of information like that. And when I went to the emergency room, I gave them the sheet of paper that had all that information on it, even though they had it in their computer system. And the nurse says, man, this is fantastic. I said, yeah, keep it. Use it as a template. Well, she made a copy and then handed it back after blanking out my name and social and all that kind of stuff. But I always come prepared with things. How about a manual can opener? I have to look for one of those. There's the military type. I don't like that. It takes too long. But they're out there. How about a manual can opener? How about a lighter or matches? Do you have matches? Do you have a Bic lighter? Yeah, you go to Wally World, they have all kinds of lighters available. And they're always close to the checkout counter, and I always pick up a 3-pack or a 5-pack or different lighters. Butane, it can leak out. So I want to have multiples. Sometimes matches, book matches will work. How about books, magazines, games for recreation? Well, in that case, I get a tablet that is pretty tough. Right now, the one that's on right now, I have two tablets. One is a Huawei, which you cannot buy anymore in the States because they put a kibosh on buying those. It was an excellent tablet. I don't know why they said, no, you can't buy them anymore. But it was a Wally World thing. You know, I went there, I saw it, I liked it, I bought it. And it's good sound. My latest one is a Samsung. And I believe it's an S8. And that Samsung is good. But the only thing of it is it interferes with the radio hookup in the car. So it doesn't use the phone. The car picks up on the Samsung as being the dominant thing. And if I want to make a phone call, I have to use the Samsung. Well, I disabled that after I figured out how smart tools for dumb people. But anyway, I figured it out. And now my phone is the only thing that will work in that car. But that Samsung can be used as a phone. Kind of strange. Beautiful sound. The Huawei doesn't have the sound that the Samsung has. Make sure you have your cell phone. Make sure you have your charging cables. If you're taking a pad with you, make sure that pad or tablet has a charging cable with it. And it's protected in a plastic sleeve too. So that would be your books and magazines and games for recreation. You can download some things like that and put games on your tablet and use it. Special needs items like pet supplies, baby supplies, if applicable. Well, I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about baby supplies. Pet supplies, if my neighbor goes along and she has cats, well, then we have cat food. And then we have to have water for the cats. And then we have to have something to take care of the waste. And they're all beautiful cats. I love them to death and they put up with me, so that's good. But pets, if you take your dog with you, you're going to have food and water for the pet. How about a cooler and ice packs? Now, I don't have a cooler per se, but I do have ice packs. And I use that for some of the medication I have to have. And you have to have a plan for evacuation. Do you have a map? Do you know where you're going? What happens when the families are separated? Another thing I like to keep is a GMRS radio. It's a handy talkie. They're good for about anywhere from 1 mile up to about 35, depending on the terrain. And I have a couple of those, plus I have some loaners I can give out to people. And, you know, we always want to be in communication. So if my sister lives 3 miles from me, I can give her a handy talkie and she can talk to me. And the brand that I have is an Ocean, which is Wouxun. And it's a KGUV9G. Now, if you're smart enough to get a ham radio, hey, that's something to use. I'm not quite there yet. I went with the GMRS. The license is basically, what is it, $10 for, no, it isn't, $35 for 10 years. Well, what about your house? We've got that to-go bag ready. How about scouring your home? You know, how to secure your home in the event damaging winds and storm surge and flooding happens. Well, cover all your windows, either with hurricane shutters or wood. And although tape can prevent glass from shattering, you know, you can put X marks of tape on your windows to keep it from breaking. In a hurricane, that doesn't really help that much. It keeps the glass from flying on people. And if possible, you want to secure straps or clips to securely fasten your roof to the structure of your home. And they make those. And you can go up in your attic and you can put those on. My house doesn't have those because it was built before that time. All new homes down in Florida and coastal areas have to have those straps. And it's easy. You just put them in place and you nail the roof to the frame of the house. And you do that with these special cleats. And if possible, you want to secure straps or clips, securely fasten your roof to the structure of your home, which is what those cleats do. Make sure all trees and shrubs are trimmed and clear the rain gutters. Now, there are some foam things. They're triangular, and they're about 3 or 4 feet long. And I buy them at Home Depot. And you put them in your gutters, and you don't have to clean out your gutters. The water goes through, the snow melts and goes through those, but the leaves don't even go through, so your gutters stay clean. So that's something that you might consider getting. And you want to reinforce your garage doors. And you want to bring in all outdoor furniture, garbage cans, decorations, and anything else that is not tied down. Because if it isn't tied down, it's going to fly all over the place. Bring in all outdoor furniture, okay? If winds become strong, stay away from the windows and doors and close and secure and brace internal doors. But stay away from the windows. And that's when you're hunkering in. If the state of Florida tells you to evacuate, to leave, to get out of town, do it. If I got a notice to evacuate, the first thing I would do, I would make sure that, you know, my windows were taken care of and everything was unplugged that could be unplugged and things were above waterline. I don't have to worry that where I live because I live up on a plateau above the city. So if it's going to rain and flood, it goes down into the city and down to the river. So I don't have to worry about that because I'm probably 80 feet above the rest of the city. And then the river is another 10 feet down or 15 feet down. And there's a flood wall set up. Well, what about power outages? Do you have a portable generator? Do you have a solar generator with solar panels? How are you going to provide power for everything? Well, I've got both. I've got a generator that does 8,000 watts. It's enough to do probably half the house. And it charges things with the USB ports and all kinds of other plugs. It runs on gasoline and propane. And then I decided, okay, what if I really need something and I can't use the generator? Well, then I have my solar panels, which I have 4 solar panels and a battery. And it's a Generarc, Generarc. And it's okay. I might buy another one. Remember, one is none and two is one. I'm not going to buy 2 generators because I don't have any place to put them. ATMs, do you have extra cash on hand in the event the ATMs in your area aren't working? Cash works. Credit cards won't because if there's no power, credit cards don't work. So how much should you keep at your house? That's up to you. I know what I need and I have it in a secure spot. I don't tell people where it's at. And it's locked up and it's secure. But you need cash. Also, cell phones. Charge your cell phone and limit the use after the power is out. There are some batteries and charging units, and I have one that has a solar panel built into it, and you can set it out in the sun, and then you can go ahead and you can charge your phone, I think, 20 times, I believe. It's either 20 or 30 times. And that's good. You can charge radios and other things with it. And it's got a solar panel. It's no more than about 3 inches wide by, I think, 5 inches long. How about air conditioning? Well, if the power goes out, you could use fans if you have a generator. But that's about it. Water, fill your bathtub in large containers with water for washing and flushing only. There's a thing out there called a water bob, B-O-B. And you put it in your bathtub, you fill it up with water, and you cap the top, and you have roughly about 100 gallons. Maybe it's 50 gallons of water. I've got 2 50-gallon barrels, and I've got other stuff here. Because if I need water, I have it. And I have ways to purify it because I've got a Berkey water filter. They're great. How about food? Turn your fridge temperature down and your freezer and freeze any food or drinking water that can be frozen if you expect a power outage. I don't necessarily freeze stuff. I do have frozen food, and I also have a reach-in freezer. And don't open the door that much because then you just defeat the purpose of the refrigerator. The CDC, that's the gov, cdc.gov, has a great guide on how to stay safe in the event of a power outage. And you can go to the government sites. You can go to maybe the state of Florida website. And that will help you out. But the object is to be safe, not sorry. And remember, I told you guys for 10 years to prep. Here's your chance to use your knowledge. And that's the way it goes. You have to use your knowledge. Do you have any books on prepping? The LDS Church. It has a preparedness book that's out there. I had some other friends, and let's see if I can find it here on the website. Maybe I can't. Maybe I put it on Money and Change. I don't know. I think it's on Money and Change. So let me just check that website out real quick. I'll get right to it here. And they were giving out a free ebook that they've done on preparedness. The problem of it is the free manual isn't available, I don't think. It's the Provident Prepper on YouTube. These guys are great guys, and just common people. And they have a book called The Provident Prepper, and they were giving a lecture series and giving these books out if you go to their site or go to the lecture. You could probably still buy them on Amazon or something like that. But it's by Kylene, K-Y-L-E-N-E, and Jonathan Jones. And they live out in Utah. And yeah, they're preppers. He's an engineer. She's a housewife. And it's a common sense guide to preparing for emergencies. And that's what The Provident Prepper is on YouTube. You want to subscribe to them because it's interesting stuff, and they're common people, just like your next door neighbors, and it's nothing really expensive to do when you're prepping, a little bit at a time, and you build it up over time. The preps that I have with my canned food, my bottled water, and things like that, you know, you build up over period of time. How about vitamins? Do you have vitamins? Stock up on them. B vitamins, C vitamins, D3. If you have a tendency to get kidney stones, the potassium citrate will always works. I have to keep those on hand once in a while. A lot of different things that you use, and you have to be prepared. And now you're going to have to be economically prepared because some of the stuff I'm listening to right now, and they're not doomsayers or anything. It's they're saying, okay, we could have a financial recession. We could have a depression. We could have banks collapsing. We could have this, that, and the other. So how do you prepare for that? Well, that's up to you. You have to prepare because you have to have food to eat. You have to have water to drink. You have to have some cash on hand so you can pay your bills when nobody else can. And don't live off your credit cards as much. One of the big pet peeves is the Americans are downsizing in their long-term credit and card or credit card debt. And that was a survey that was taken. It was out on Zero Hedge. And son of a gun, I posted that on the Money and Change website. I think it was last week. And it said 60% who have credit card debt have owed their creditors for at least 12 months. Pay down that debt. Don't get the fancy stuff. Pay down in debt. And if you really want to listen to Danny and Wanda King, go to YouTube. And or you can go to our Money and Change site. And I've got, Are You Really Prepared? And Danny tells it like it is. Well, Michael, just a couple of things here before we bail out of here.
All right.
You know, I hate it when I see an old person and then realize that we went to high school together. And, you know, at my funeral, take the banquet or the bouquet, not the banquet. No, God, just give me a piece of food. No, take the bouquet off my coffin and then throw it into the crowd and see who gets it next. I thought growing old would take longer, but, well, it's there. Well, anyhow, guys, stay safe. Prepare. Have a good attitude on life. And we'll talk again after the storm blows over. And that's all I've got, Michael.
Yep. Let's just pray for those people down in Florida and hope God keeps them nice and safe. And that's, you know, it's in the best hands at that point. Anyway, Stu, we will not be seeing you this Sunday, we know. So we will be back on air on Tuesday, and you will catch Offsides and also Slobberknocker and Take Point 22, which will be on. Anyway, folks, you take care. God bless. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network.
Stay safe. The book.